Hey, all, it's Zach Clark, producer of the Detroit Football Network podcast with Justin Rogers, Mike Stone, and Will Birchfield, and I have some bonus content for you. But before we get there, make sure you like and follow the Detroit Football Network podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. That way you won't miss the weekly preview and recap episodes as the Lions storm towards the playoffs. Today's bonus content is a conversation between Stoney and NFL Films analyst Greg Cosell.
All right, joined by, I don't know what to call, maybe just the film tape guru of the National Football League for NFL Films. You see him on ESPN. He does matchup. He does all sorts of stuff, and he's on a lot of shows. And he was with me and John Jansen a couple of times in a former radio life. He is Greg Cosell of NFL Films. How are you, sir?
Stoney, good to be with you. I'm doing great. You know, it's in season, so, you know, I'm in my office quite a bit.
Yes, I know you're a little
and
busy.
You've been there. You've been there. You've seen it.
Oh, absolutely. It's a very, very nice office. Love that facility. Before we start talking about the Lions, the league in general, has the play been, I don't know if disappointing is the right word, but maybe it just the first few weeks, it's started to step up. We've seen a, for the most part, not as exciting NFL as we have in the past.
Yeah, there haven't been as many points scored overall, and I think that that's the way people often judge whether it's exciting or not. And I think I'm sure studies have been done as to what fans find exciting about watching the NFL. I'm sure scoring a lot of points is probably near the top of the list. I think fans prefer seeing big plays in the passing game than they do seeing 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But it seems as if the big pass plays are not happening the way they have in the last number of years, and therefore scoring is down. Because as you know, it's harder to create explosive plays in the run game than it is in the pass game. You don't see a lot of 50, 60-yard runs where you tend to see, certainly in the sample size of recent history, you tend to see more explosive pass plays. And running, though, just in general, the number of runs is up. And I guess we could probably spend 2 hours discussing the reasons why there, but certainly the running game seemed to be more prevalent than they have been in the past.
And I was going to bring that up, maybe because, you know, here in Detroit, they do run the ball a lot. We'll get into the reasons why. But, you know, everybody talks about, you know, running back is dead. The running back is dead. And we see with Saquon and some of the others and a lot of these teams are really running the ball. Is it that the defenses have caught up to a lot of the passing game and they figure, well, you know what, we're better off running the ball because chances are we won't turn the ball over as much, but and we take some time off the clock. But it's almost we're going back a few decades right now.
Yeah, no, you're right, and you know it's hard to get into the minds of either offensive coaches or defensive coaches. But I think there's a sense that the running game, from a defensive perspective, I'm speaking now, does not produce big plays in the way the passing game does. And if an offense chooses to run the ball, more than likely, it's going to take more plays to move the ball down the field and ideally to score, and that at some point you are going to have to throw it. And if you get one negative play or a penalty, all of a sudden your possession changes, as you well know. So if you're running the ball, and most coaches would view a positive run as 4 yards, 5 yards, but those are not chunk plays, so you need a lot of those plays in order to move the ball down the field. So I'm not sure it's a feeling by defensive coordinators that let's let them run the ball, but that's preferable to the big plays in the pass game. But because defenses play a certain way, offenses are trying to win the matchups, and the running games have been pretty successful. You know, and again, you also have a lot more quarterbacks now that are capable of being designed runners. Now, when I say that, not everybody's Lamar Jackson, obviously, but you just have more quarterbacks where designed runs in selected situations can be a factor. And when the quarterback presents that as an option, you know, defenses have to be aware of that and they have to game plan for that.
Well, the opposite of that is here in Detroit as far as a mobile quarterback. Although, as we saw the last game, Goff did catch a pass. So after 4 games, what does the tape tell you about Jared Goff? Started off kind of slow, but last 2 weeks, especially the last week, he was actually literally perfect. Well,
I will say this. There'll always be a place in the NFL for quarterbacks that can drop back, you know, throw to the right receiver at the right time with the right kind of throw. There will always be a place for those quarterbacks in the NFL. I know a lot of people are caught up now in the fact that the college game is giving the NFL quarterbacks that tend to be far more mobile than ever before. So that is part of their game. And certainly there's nothing wrong with that. But the ability to be efficient in the pocket and to play the position from the pocket at a high level, to my mind anyway, will never go out of style. And Goff is among the best in the league at that. I mean, obviously, he's not going to go 18 for 18 every week. No one can. But, you know, his ability to make really difficult window throws between the numbers, he's as good as anybody in the league at that. And that's one way I personally evaluate quarterbacks, is their ability to make those kinds of throws. Because if you talk to coaches, because of the hash marks in the NFL, totally different than in college, the NFL game is played between the numbers. It's played very much in the middle of the field, more so than the college game. And quarterbacks have to be able to make those kinds of throws, Stoney, you know, particularly against zone coverage where they're window throws. I mean, just think back to the game that was just played. I know they didn't play this past week, but the game prior when he hit Tim Patrick, I believe it was 29 mm-hmm. yards. It was in the second half. I mean, that's as good a window throw as you're going to see. That's not a short throw. That's not an easy throw. When it's done properly, it looks like, you know, anybody could do it, that you and I could do it. But that's a really, really difficult throw.
What's the difference between Jared Goff as he's been playing in the last game and the game in Arizona? He was a little better than the first 2 weeks of Jared Goff.
You know, I think I always view that as the season starts. You know, or if a quarterback has a bad game, you know, I think people look, you know how it was. You were on the radio every day for years and years. When you're on 3-4 hours a day, you have to talk. And what is there to talk about? If a guy has a bad game, you talk about it as if now all of a sudden that week defines his career, you know. And I think that there's nothing wrong with Jared Goff. Are there going to be games he's not as sharp as others, particularly starting a season when you don't play in the preseason? That happens. And could he have will he have another bad game this year? Of course he will. That's the nature of the NFL. There's 17 games. There's a lot of games and there's a lot of snaps. So, but overall, Jared Goff has been a really higher level NFL quarterback essentially since his second year in the league. Well, you know, once Sean McVay became the coach of the Rams. Now, he's obviously a quarterback that is really helped tremendously by the schematics of a pass game. And I think everybody recognizes that Ben Johnson does as good a job as anybody in the league with his route concepts, his use of formations, his spacing. Spacing is so critical, Stoney. Think of it this way. When you watch, let's say, basketball or hockey, you're obviously in a town that has both. When you watch basketball and hockey on TV, you definitely get a sense that it's confined space because you can see the confined space. When you watch football, I don't think most people think of it as a confined space game. But it is. And anytime there's confined space, spacing and, to use a basketball term, floor balance are really, really important. And I think Ben Johnson has a great feel for designing routes. And we're talking versus zone coverage, obviously, although it does apply to man as well, but predominantly zone. Spacing of routes to create defined, clean throws for the quarterback becomes paramount. And Ben Johnson, to me, is among the best in the league at that.
Let's talk about some of the weapons that he throws to. St. Brown, obviously one of the best in the league at doing that, is finding the spaces.
Yep.
So far, what does the tape show on the improvement of Jameson Williams?
Yeah, well, he's one of those guys. There's not many of them in the league. There's Williams, there's Tyreek Hill, there's the kid at New Orleans, Shaheed. I'm sure Worthy will evolve into that as he gains more experience. Maybe I'm missing one or two, but there's not 20 of those guys that just have terrifying speed. You know, I talk to scouts that do advance for games, and, you know, that's the way they talk about these guys, that they tell me that they make it very clear to the coaching staff when they make their presentations that this guy has terrifying speed, and you must account for that. You cannot let him get over the top or just turn it on, run after catch. As he's done, you know, we saw that with a long touchdown in the last game. where he just caught the inbreaker. And of course, those inbreakers are really a critical piece of what the Lions do in the pass game. But he can take those and he can turn those into big, big plays and touchdowns as he did in the last game. So, you know, that and he's more, I think he's ultimately more than just a player with ridiculous speed. But that is such a big, big factor in an offense and how a defense has to play.
And he has really picked up, and St. Brown has done it for years, they're blocking downfield, which is, I think, an underrated skill for wide receivers.
I think you can teach that. I've had this conversation with coaches, you know, because a lot of people talk about receivers coming out of college and they talk about blocking. And I had a wide receiver coach who's been in the league for a long, long time tell me, we don't even look at that. We can teach a receiver how to block well enough that he'll be a factor in our run game. We're not drafting receivers because of the way they block. And I think you can teach a guy. It really comes down to effort because receivers are not going to pancake anybody. You just want them to be physical and competitive enough that they can do what's necessary.
Laporta, slow start. I think he was hampered a little bit by the injury, and he's not a surprise to anyone anymore. How do you think he's done through four games?
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you know, as you know, I do a lot of college evaluations mm-hmm. as well. I probably do 250 guys each year in detail, and he's been better than I expected, and I'll be the first to admit it. Not that I didn't think he was a good player, but I didn't think he'd be this good. And he's been really, really good. He has a tremendous feel for – he's in some ways, he reminds me of Zach Ertz in his feel. He might be a little bit of a better athlete than Ertz, but he just has a real feel for working against coverage, whether it's man or zone, creating space, getting open. He's better run after catch than I guess I thought he might have been, but he's just a really, really good player. And because – of his athleticism, you can line him up anywhere in the formation. He's not restricted to being close to the formation. You can detach him, which they do, of course, as you know.
As far as running the football, like we talked to, they're really good at it. And they have a two-headed monster than most teams. Is this the best duo in the league? And is there anything you see, you know, when you look at them on tape that makes them more unique than even we think so?
I'm going to tell you a really quick story. So a couple of years ago, it was when Jahmyr Gibbs was transferring to Alabama. So it was the summer of whatever summer that was. He had just played at Georgia Tech, and he was transferring to Alabama. So I happened to be watching tape in my office, you know, as I do college guys. I do a lot of college guys in the summer, you know, and then I rewatch them, you know, the year they're coming out. But I watch them very often the year prior to get a feel for guys that are being talked about. And I figured he was going to Alabama, so, you know, he's going to gain a lot of yards at Alabama. So I was watching him with his Georgia Tech tape. Fred Taylor, the great former Jaguars running back, happened to be in our building, and he walked by my office, and I had met Fred a number of times. And I said, hey, Fred, come here. I want to show you this back that I'm watching. See what you think. And it was Jahmyr Gibbs. And so I showed him, and he said to me that – because I said to him, I said, I think this guy's going to be a first-round pick. And he said, oh, yeah. And he was watching it with me for 10 minutes. He said, boy, this guy's really something. So, you know, obviously, Jahmyr Gibbs, I've loved him ever since his Georgia Tech tape. And, you know, he's not big, but he's a little more physical than you think, although I don't think he could do, you know, he doesn't have to in this offense. No. I'm not sure he could be a 20-carry-a-week guy, but in this offense, he doesn't have to be. Maybe there's a given game here and there that it plays out that way. But I think Montgomery is a little juicier, Stoney, than people think. You know, he's not – I wouldn't call him explosive, and he's not shifty in the way we think of some backs being shifty. But he's got a little more juice than I think people think he does.
What I love about him is, you know, the physicality and some of the runs where he's just pounding people.
Yeah, he's downhill. He's competitive. He's urgent. He's a downhill runner, and he finishes runs. No, he's – he's another guy I've watched since college at Iowa State. Always thought that he would be this kind of back. Obviously played with some bad Bears teams, but now he's with a good team, and he's a big factor. I mean, you know, as you said, it's a two-headed monster, but Montgomery is very, very important to this offense. Don't forget how much they are under center. You know, you talked about Goff. His play-action pass numbers under center are off the charts. And they run more play action under center than any team in the league. And I've always believed play action under center is far more effective than play action in the shotgun. Again, another lengthy discussion, but just that's just what I believe. And I think that's borne out more often than not. And obviously Montgomery is a factor in that.
The offensive line, you can argue, are they top three, top one, whatever. But there was a change there. Zeitler replaced Jonah Jackson, who went to the Rams. Ragnow didn't even play against Seattle. He's supposed to play against the Cowboys. Glasgow took over. How do you think this offensive line has been progressing throughout this season?
Well, it's just a really good line. I mean, Sewell is as good a right tackle as there is in the league. Decker's been a really solid player for a long time. He's probably getting up there. I don't know how is he over 30 now?
Decker? He's right around 30, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's been
he was actually a Bob Quinn draft pick. One of the few.
Oh, wow.
Ones. Yeah.
Sure. Out of Ohio State, as I recall,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're just really solid. It's just a really good group. I mean, when your offensive line can be solid week in and week out, you've got a chance, particularly with this group every week. Sewell is just a really, really good player.
All right, we'll be back and look at the Lions defense on the Detroit Football Network podcast on Odyssey or Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. Back with more of Greg Cosell after this. All right, it's time to talk defense, Greg, which was the Lions' bugaboo mostly last year. They addressed it in the draft. Rake Straws played like one game because he was injured. They went and got Carlton Davis. They got Marcus Davenport. He obviously is out for the season, so Hutch needs some help. Terry and Arnold, the first-round pick, got a lot of penalties. Let's start in the back end. What do you see from their secondary thus far?
Well, I'll answer it this way, Stoney. I think that you have to start with Aaron Glenn, because I think that Aaron Glenn has really evolved and adapted as a defensive coordinator. You know, I think the way he wanted to play when he got there, given his background, you know, given coming from the Saints and Dennis Allen, he wanted to play a lot of man coverage and he wanted a pressure. Okay. And he found out that number one, he didn't have the personnel to do either one really. And as you know, they got burned a lot. And is this his fourth year or third?
Yes, fourth.
Fourth. For the first couple of years, they got burned a good amount. And, you know, he wanted to play a certain way. And, you know, guys have a belief in how they want to play. And they can be stubborn. I mean, coaches, hey, that's coaching. You know, this is the way I want to play. We're going to do this and we're going to make it work. And I think he's really evolved over the last couple of years. And particularly this year through the first, I guess they've only played four games, right? Because they just had the bye. But I think when I say that, what I mean is this season, through the four games, he's played more zone coverage concepts and more two high safety coverage than in previous seasons. He has not been as focused on pressure and man coverage the way he had been, you know, going back to when he started 4 years ago. And I think that really speaks well of him. And, you know, you always, if you feel your players can then start handling more man and more pressure, you always have that in your playbook. But I think he's evolved, and I think that's really going to help the defense.
What do you think of Arnold so far? A lot of flags. But he seems
to be
in the proper position.
Because that's the difference between the college game and the NFL game. And don't forget, Alabama was a team that played a lot of press man. He was used to being handsy and grabby. You can do that much more in college. Obviously, in the NFL, they don't allow that at all. So he's going to have to make that transition. He'll also end up playing a little more off coverage. There's a lot more that goes with off coverage. It's harder to play because you have to understand splits. You have to understand routes. You have to understand the gray areas and the conflict areas and zone coverage. You have to play with great eyes. So there's a learning curve. And I know with first-round picks, particularly at a position that was viewed as a position of weakness for the Lions, they expect him to come in, you know, and be Champ Bailey. That's not going to happen, you know. So you just have to let the kid learn. He's a great kid. He will learn. But there'll be some growing pains.
Linebacker, I want to ask you about, with Derek Barnes now being pretty much out for the year. Jack Campbell.
Is he out for the year? Is that definite?
Well, it's not definite, but Dan Campbell said.
He's one of my favorite players. That's a shame.
He's gotten better, and he started off really slow, and he had the big interception last year in the playoff game, and it's going to hurt. But Jack Campbell, have you seen anything in the evolution of him from year one to year two?
I love Jack Campbell. I loved him coming out of Iowa. You know, see, it's funny. He was one of those guys, Stoney, that people watched him and play in college and they thought, oh, he's big. He's not a great athlete. You know, the usual stuff. And then all of a sudden he goes to the combine and he puts up ridiculous athletic testing measurables. And then people are like, well, this guy's a really good athlete. All you have to do is watch him on tape. The guy's a really, really good player. You know, that kind of size, that's a trait. People don't think about size being a trait, but it is. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's 6'5", 250. He's long. He moves well. He's physical. He's smart. He can play in any package. He can even rush the quarterback at times. He's just a really, really good player. And I thought when they made that pick, you know how it was. A lot of people said, what are they doing taking a guy? I think he was the 17th pick in the first round, right?
Or 18th, I think, whatever.
Yeah, maybe right around there. Yeah. And a lot of people said, as you recall, what are they doing taking that guy there? And, you know, he's a really good player. I mean, he's obviously with Barnes out, maybe he's going to play a few more snaps than he might have if Barnes was there. But, he's going to play 50 snaps a game, and he's a really good football player.
And Rodriguez is going to take more snaps, and he's actually been okay. The one guy in defense that we love here, what does the national, view and your view of when you watch the tape? Now, he didn't play last week because he was sick of Brian Branch.
Oh, well, first of all, he's playing a different position now.
Right.
But I love Brian Branch. I thought coming out that he was absolutely a first-round pick. He was taken in the second round. Last year he played slot corner, and I thought he played it really, really well. This year, because of Robertson, he's going to play, safety when he's back. He'll be a starting safety. I think he can play either one and play it at a high level. There's an awareness to the way in which he plays, a savviness to the way in which he plays, and he's a great tackler. You know, that's rare. That really stood out in college, and it stood out last year, and he's a great blitzer. So it's going to be interesting if he's playing safety, how they deploy him as a blitzer, because he's a really, really good blitzer.
Up front, they got DJ Reader in free agency. You put him with McNeil. They got Davenport. Obviously, he's out for the year, which hurts, and with Hutchinson. What do you think of the acquisition of Reader? And he's only played a couple of games. And how do you think him and McNeil are going to do the rest of the way?
He's always been a really good inside run stuffer. You know, he's been that guy. So, you know, if he's healthy and can play, that's what he is. He's not likely to play in their sub fronts. You know, when they want to rush the quarterback, he's a certain kind of player. It's funny, with Barnes out, I was just thinking there's two guys who become intriguing to me. Neither one will play 40 snaps a game, but you know how it is. There's situational football, and you play certain guys. I think that Neiman and Reeves-Maybin are interesting guys now that Barnes is gone, is not, based on what you said, could be out for the season. And I'm curious to see how they deploy each one of those guys, because they're both really athletic guys. They both have a ton of experience playing in sub-defense, and you could see those guys get a few more snaps.
You know who's played really well? A guy who hasn't been healthy since he was drafted is Levi Onwuzurike.
Yeah, the other guy who I always liked, and I know he's been hurt a lot, and I guess he's healthy now, is Josh Pascal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really curious to see if he can stay on the field, Stoney, what he can do, because I really liked him coming out of college. I thought he was strong, physical. I thought he had some pass rush traits. So we'll see. I mean, look, they just had their bye week. You know how coaches are. They do a lot of self-scouting. You know, we could start seeing some different snap counts going forward. You never know, because they reassess a little bit.
So I want to ask you about Hutchinson. Obviously, here
he's pretty good.
Pretty damn good. How good is he? We're biased, obviously. And how much? And one of the things that people were worried about, because now, especially this Davenport's, out for the year, is they need help for him, because if he's the only one getting any pressure, it's tough because he gets doubled a lot and maybe even tripled sometimes.
Well, I got to tell you, he's better than I thought he'd be as a pass rusher. I loved his tape coming out because of the way in which he played. I didn't view him as a great pass rush prospect, but he's turned out to be better and better. Maybe it's a function just of his commitment to the game and working and working and working. I know he's that kind of guy. Never met him, but I know he's that kind of player. But he's been a better pass rusher than I thought. And he's added to his repertoire quite a bit. And he just is relentless. And, that's a trait as well. There's a lot of guys who might have a lot of skill in terms of physical and athletic traits, but they're just not as relentless as he is. So he's been an overall better player than I thought. I thought he'd be a very good player, but he's been a better pass rusher. He's a dominant force on the edge.
So they play Dallas this week. We saw what they did with I wouldn't call it a miracle. They dominated the stat sheet, win over Pittsburgh. How do you think the Lions shape going into Dallas, considering, no Lawrence and no Parsons for them, among others?
Well, Dallas, obviously – They still have a quality quarterback, and they still have CD Lamb. But they're kind of limited in many ways. Offensively, they don't have a run game. Defensively, they're missing great players. Now, who knows about Micah? I mean, usually high ankle sprains, you're not back in 2 weeks. You know, we don't know the answer to that. But their secondary is, in my view, not a really good secondary. You know, it's still an NFL game. I'm not a predictor.
Right, and I know.
And I don't look at this stuff and say, well, that means the Lions are going to dominate. You never know what happens on a Sunday in the NFL. But the Cowboys are a team that has some clear, defined flaws on both sides of the ball. And you would hope that the Lions can take advantage, but the game's in Dallas, and you never know.
Finally, this division has turned out to be maybe the best division in the NFL. Minnesota surprising a lot of people. Although, you know, with Brian Flores in the defense and O'Connell calling all the shots, you know, as the head coach, it's some of it's really not as surprising as it should be. How do you look at this division?
It's a really good division. I mean, you know, Minnesota, as you know, that defense is really hard to play against with Brian Flores. They do give up plays, but it's just a hard defense to play against. But you look back, you know, when Detroit played Minnesota last year, I think week 16 and week 18, if memory serves me correctly, and I think they scored 30 points in both games.
Nick Mullins, like, shredded the Lions. He had some interceptions, but he like...
Yeah, but I'm talking about the Lions were able to move the ball effectively against the Vikings defense. And Amon-Ra St. Brown had big numbers, you know, cumulative in both games. So, you know, they've done Ben Johnson's done a really nice job against that defense, but it's still a difficult defense to play against. You mentioned Kevin O'Connell. He's one of the best. The Packers are an interesting team with the new coordinator there and Jeff Hafley. I mean, their defense is totally different than it was a year ago. It's much more aggressive. There's more man coverage. They're tougher to play against. And, you know, Love's just a developing player who's really gifted, high-level traits. They've got a lot of weapons, a good back. I mean, and what team am I leaving out? Oh, Chicago.
The Bears.
I mean, the Bears, you know, they're an unknown still. Obviously, Caleb Williams, you know, is a developing player. You know, in this league, as we said at the start, people look at each week as if it's definitive. So, you know, but he's still going to have ups and downs as a rookie quarterback. But they've got a good defense, too. That's the thing. That's kind of the thing about them that is there every week that can travel is they have a good defense.
All right. Thanks a lot, Greg. Appreciate it. And we'll catch up like maybe before the draft.
All right, Stoney. Thanks.
Like and follow the Detroit Football Network podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. The Detroit Football Network podcast is produced by me, Zach Clark. For more Lions content, check out Justin's work at DetroitFootball.net and Will's work at 971theticket.com. For Justin Rogers, Mike Stone, and Will Birchfield, I'm Zach Clark. Thanks for listening.